to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to put a question to you, and then I'm going to call on some people to answer. So listen carefully to that question, okay? And I'll give you a moment to think about it. What is your favorite thing to do on the weekend? Okay? What is your favorite thing to do on the weekend? And you know, Dick, I'm going to pick on you first, so what is it? Go fishing, okay? Dick likes to go fishing on the weekend, okay? Lance, how about you? Being in church, okay? Favorite thing? Pastor Hesse?
Being in church.
Being in church. All right. Joyce?
Spending time thinking about myself and my relationship with God.
Okay. Spending time thinking about yourself, relationship to God. Okay. Mr. Erickson, and don't say school, okay? What do you like to do on the weekends? What's your favorite thing to do? Okay.
Self-reflection time, yeah.
All right. Here I thought it was barbecuing.
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
That's up there.
Yeah. And Mr. Claver, you're going to be my final person for this morning. What's your favorite thing to do?
Anything Pam tells me to do.
All right. I see all the men nodding, yes. Okay. But you know what? I didn't hear one answer. Nobody said pulling weeds. There wasn't a single person that said pulling weeds. That's not really surprising, is it? Because not a lot of people like to do weeding. So why do we do it? Why do we bother? When we pull weeds, you know what happens. The only thing that happens is they pop back up again, right? Weeds are often uncontrollable. So why don't we just get some Roundup? And we'll go into our gardens and we'll spray everything. We'll go into the yard and spray all the grass and the flower beds and so on, so that the weeds will never go back. Now, we also know that Roundup apparently isn't very healthy for us as human beings either. So I've read that in recent times. But obviously, we're not going to do that in our yards, are we? Because we know what's going to happen. Besides taking out the undesirable weeds, we're also going to kill the desirable plants that we have as well. Any foods that we have or plants in the garden that might substitute for foods, they're going to be poisoned. The grass would be killed. The flowers are going to die more quickly than, of course, those durable weeds. And while we get rid of those nasty things, but what is the cost? Well, this morning we're going to take a look at that cost, one of the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, what do we do with the weeds? And Jesus tells us very plainly, don't pull them up, but patiently grow with them until you rejoice at the harvest. And so again, we hear the words of the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came, and he sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And so we have this parable from our Lord Jesus, the time when he stood out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee and he told the people that particular parable. Later in the day, he met with his disciples, and there he explained what it was, the meaning of that parable. He told them that the one sowing the seed was, of course, himself, Jesus. He was the one who plants Christians in the field of this world. The weeds, he pointed out, were those who were unbelievers, whom the devil keeps from the truth. And the harvest is judgment day, when all things will end and God's angels will separate the believers, of course, from the unbelievers for all of eternity. But who knows what day that is? Only God does. It may be tomorrow. It might be 5,000 years from now. But in the meantime, what do we do with the weeds? And in our parable today, Jesus explains. First thing is, don't pull them up. When the farmer's servants saw that the heads of the wheat began to pop up out of the surface of that soil, they were shocked. And they were also appalled. Why? Because they found that that wasn't the only thing that was growing in that field. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weeds come from?" And the master was eager to tell them, "Don't go and pull them up." And fortunately, those servants were very wise. Before doing that, they went and checked with the master. The reason being, for if they pulled the weeds at that point, you would also possibly and probably destroy the wheat as well. Well, how about it for us today? Do we sometimes feel like those servants? Are we shocked by what we read in the newspaper? If you get the paper or you see it on the news, on television in the evening. I was shocked again this morning to find out rioting still going on around our country. 50 straight days in the city of Portland, Oregon. It's unbelievable. Are we hurt by what we see, perhaps in our own homes? Do sometimes we wonder how a loving God would allow so many weeds and why he would tolerate such evil that goes on in this world? Do we want to find out a way to put an end to all the evils of the world? Do we want to pull those weeds up? But before we get too zealous about that, we need to put down our garden tools, and we're going to see what the master wants us to do with those weeds. For zeal without knowledge is a very, very dangerous thing. So what does Jesus want us to do with the unbelievers that we come in contact with every single day? He doesn't want us to pull them up. When we ask, what should we do with the weeds, pull them up, he says, no, stop, don't pull them up. He's not looking for a political battle from us to clean up the world. If God wanted to put an end to the evil with physical force, by golly, he could do it. The one who created the universe by the power of his word, he could easily end it all at this very moment. But that is not what he wants. He doesn't want to pull the weeds. Not yet. But why? Why does God allow evil people with their evil schemes and their evil deeds to continue? And the answer lies in verse 29 of our text today. He says, no, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. If we try to rid ourselves of the world of these weeds, we may inadvertently rid the world of some of the weak believers. The sons of the kingdom of God, that is believers, and the sons of the evil one, the devil, also known as the unbelievers, we live side by side in this world with them. Oftentimes they almost look identical. They have the same customs. Some of them have the same hobbies. They have the same jobs. They read the same paper as we do. They enjoy some of the same recreations, such as fishing, barbecuing, and the like. They may even seek the same political goals. They go to the same restaurants, and even some go to the same church. But they are entirely different. Christians are wheat, and they produce fruits of faith that last into eternity. The unbelievers are weeds, And what do they produce? Nothing but poison. But if we can't always tell the difference, we had better not be too quick to condemn, for we might pull up the wheat with the weeds. I don't think there's anybody here this morning, and possibly at home too, that would like it if we were cut off from God's grace in a moment of weakness. I would like all of us to remember at one time we were once also a weed. At one point we could do nothing but sin, rebelling against God with our poisonous actions. God would have remained perfectly just if he had pulled us up and thrown us into the fires of hell. But that is not what he did. He loved us when we were a worthless, obnoxious weed. He loved us so much that he sent his son to endure the hell that we deserved to make us his wheat. So don't pull up the weeds, but be patient with them. St. Augustine put it this way: those who today are weeds may tomorrow be the grain. We who were once weeds are, by God's grace alone, grain today. So as we wait patiently, we need to grow in our faith, for God's waiting for the wheat to mature. Secondly, he tells us, patiently grow with them. I know for a fact it's not always easy to be patient, is it? When God could easily end all wickedness, it sometimes seems like he's sitting on his hands. It sometimes seems that God is either too weak to help or too cruel to stop it. Do we sometimes get tired of living in this weed-filled world? Do we sometimes wonder why God doesn't just end it all? Why is there evil? Why is there sin committed against God and sometimes against us? Why are there unbelievers in the world if God is all-powerful and he wants all people to be saved? Well, again, in this parable, Jesus points out that the evil that exists in this world, it's not God's fault. Hear these words: "But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Where then did the weeds come from?' And the owner responded, 'An enemy did this,' he replied." And we who are gathered here and at home, we know who that enemy is. That enemy has been with us ever since Adam and Eve sinned. That enemy, of course, is Satan. He's been planting weeds ever since. I love this quote from Martin Luther: "Wherever God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. Wherever God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel." He's a very sneaky enemy, sneaking around. And in the parable, it was at night when everyone sleeps, so that you never see it coming. How many of us saw what was coming in our own country at this time with all the various things that are going on? Sometimes I get up in the morning and I wonder, am I living in a dream, or is this real, what's happening? And then I'm reminded that it is real. If Satan can't get us to live a life of reckless abandon with the big sins, he will plant the seeds of self-righteousness in our hearts. What does that mean? Well, in self-righteousness, we become smug, and we think of ourselves more highly than we should, as if we have earned God's favor because of our supposed obedience to him. If he can't get us to despair, thinking our sins too great to be forgiven by Christ's death in our place, he will get us to view Christ's cross as a license to sin. What does that mean? Well, we are forgiven for whatever we do, so Why not live a self-gratifying life, right? We can do whatever we want. God will forgive. And Satan succeeds in planting weeds while we never see it coming. Sometimes the wheat and the weeds often look identical. And so we need to watch out, my dear friends. We need to recognize the sneaky ways of Satan and see who he really is and who we really are. We need to trust in Christ who made us good seeds. Trust that we are good seeds, not because of anything that we do, but because we are, and not because we are good in ourselves, but because God has made us good by cleaning us and by taking away our sins through the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, his precious Son. And so we need to remember to be patient. Jesus never painted this picture of a utopia here on earth. He never promised that life was going to be easy for any of us and problem-free. He never said that our lives would be weed-free. But we need to remember this. God is still in control. Be patient, trust in his promise that he will give us the strength that we need in this world. And that strength comes to us from his most precious word. Let us grow in our faith. Again, at the end of this passage, it said, let both grow together until the harvest. The weeds will probably grow in wickedness, and we will grow in godliness. And as we grow harder in our, as they grow harder in their unbelief, we are to grow stronger in our faith. And how is that done? We need to stay connected. Stay connected to what? Stay connected to the Word of God. God's Word showers us with His grace. Psalm 1 says, the one who delights in the law of the Lord and on his law meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. We need to patiently grow with the weeds while God waits for the wheat to mature and the weeds may become wheat. Thirdly, at the end of this reading today, he tells us to rejoice at the harvest. Our patience in putting up with the weeds as we grow in our faith and wait for the weeds to become wheat will finally pay off. God will prove that he is in control all along, once and for all. And that day comes on Judgment Day itself. And on that day, we will rejoice at the harvest. Again, Jesus explained it this way. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Our God is a just God. He will and he must punish sin. He will avenge those who rejected him and hurt us. He will weed out everything that causes sin and everyone who does evil. And he will destroy them forever, as it said, in the fiery furnace of hell with eternal torment, that weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But today we are here to thank God. We are here to thank God that we won't be among those burned in the fire. It is through our Lord Jesus Christ that we are no longer evil. We have been cleansed and we have been made pure. We have become good seed. We are God's righteous wheat. Jesus said, gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Then the righteous will shine like the kingdom of God. Like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And so today, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are here to rejoice. God is going to bring us into his barn. He will take us into his heaven, into the joys of eternal life. And there we will have that opportunity to rejoice for all of eternity, for what God has done for us, that he didn't pull us up like the weeds, but he made us his wheat, that he caused us to grow in our faith, and he brought us to our harvest home. And it is in his dear and precious name that we thank God for that today. And God's people said, Amen. And we pray. O God, help us this day to accept the fact that in this world good and evil will grow side by side. Lead us also to count on your wise timing and judgment. Bless us, Lord Jesus, with a believing heart, that we may remain children of your kingdom. And it is in his precious and holy name we ask it. Amen.